It may be early May, but it feels like summer here in Virginia. And with that means humidity and the heat. I do love summer runs though. They have their pros and cons, just like any season. But one of the biggest struggles I have is with my breathing. And I want to talk you through some of the breathing techniques that have helped improve my running and being able to control my breath. So whether you're running in zone two or you just want to catch your breath, stay tuned for this episode.
Welcome to Rehab for Runners, the podcast for runners who are ready to get out of pain and run with more confidence. Dr. Lisa will guide you with the clarity you need to unleash your potential with tools, practical tips, and exercises so you can enjoy your runs and exceed your goals.
Welcome back to another episode of the Rehab for Runners podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lisa, and you may not know this, but I was never supposed to be a runner. I was actually never supposed to run growing up. I was born with really bad asthma that severely affected my ability to play sports at a young age. I was on a nebulizer treatment, you know, the one where you put a mask that covers your nose and mouth, you strap it around your head, and you sit there while this loud machine gives you oxygen for 20 minutes. I had to do this 4 times a day, which meant in elementary school and daycare, I was always going to the nurse's office every day at lunch, sometimes twice a day, and then in the morning and at night. It's safe to say that my lungs were not great, so much so that the doctors told me I shouldn't run. And when I tried, I was wheezing and it was straight to the inhaler. So I was on a nebulizer for 10 years of my life. Running the marathon last year was a huge accomplishment because, again, my lungs were trash and they still aren't great. But I still thank God every day that my lungs and breathing have improved to the point where I could start running at a younger age and play with my friends. But of course, always having that nebulizer close by. It wasn't until last year at 30 years old that I was able to blow up a balloon for the first time. And even now when I go swimming, I can hold my breath for about 2 to 3 seconds before I totally freak out and need air. My lungs and breathing have definitely improved, but I still wouldn't call them great. And that has been really challenging when I'm running. So last year when I decided to start running in zone two, I quickly learned that my breathing was affecting my heart rate. As we breathe harder, whether we're running at higher speeds, in hotter temperatures, higher altitude, or with higher humidity or dew point, it's going to affect our heart rate. If our breathing rate is higher, our body is going to increase the heart rate. And if our breathing rate is lower and more controlled, our heart rate decreases. If you're starting to run in zone two and struggling to keep your heart rate down, I may have piqued your interest. And it's safe to say, if we can't control our breathing, we cannot control our heart rate. And you and I both know we don't have full control of our heart rate, but we can do certain things to help lower it or increase it. And one of those things is to improve our breathing. First, let's clarify how you should be breathing when we're running. Ideally, you're breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth for optimal oxygen exchange. But depending on a lot of factors, this will quickly exhaust itself, especially if it's really hot or really humid. And then you'll go into inhaling and exhaling through the mouth. As we inhale, we want to expand our lungs that sit inside of our rib cage. And when we exhale, our lungs go back into that resting position as the air comes out of our mouth or our nose. Maybe you've heard of belly breathing. That seems to be a hot topic where you try to expand your belly as you inhale, but this is not the best way to use the diaphragm. The diaphragm is the major respiratory muscle as well as your abdominals, and then you have some secondary respiratory muscles in your chest, your neck, and your shoulders. But one of the main muscles that we're going to focus on is the diaphragm. The secondary respiratory muscles seem to be very popular when we're running, especially if we're running at a faster pace. You may notice, like if I told you to go sprint and then just stop, there would probably be a lot of movement going on in your chest and your shoulders as you catch your breath. And then you'd go back to using your diaphragm and your abdominals once you're able to catch your breath. But ideally, we want to use our diaphragm and optimize our breathing, and not just some parts of our diaphragm when we're belly breathing, but all parts of our diaphragm. This is called 360 breathing, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It really just means you're not just expanding the belly, but you're also expanding your low back and mid back, as well as your lateral abdominals when you inhale. Now, this is the game changer. So if we can expand our belly, our back, and our sides, we're going into that 360 breathing and we're optimizing and contracting our diaphragm so we can improve our breathing techniques and therefore improve our breathing rate and our heart rate. One way that I like to improve 360 breathing before you even think about doing it when you're running is to do it at rest. So whether you're sitting in a chair or on the floor, you can put both hands right below your ribs on each side. Maybe some of your fingers are covering your ribs. And all I want you to do is just expand your belly, your sides, and your back. So you'll be able to feel your sides and your back and your belly pushing into your hands on each side. If you feel tension on one side, or maybe you feel like one side is not expanding as much as you should, you might need to do some myofascial release, like rolling the skin. Maybe you grip a lot on that side. But if you can do some myofascial release, you might be able to release that area so you can expand more on that side. But this is really important because we want it to be symmetrical on each side as we expand our lateral abdominals, we expand our ribs, our belly, and our back. Not only are we able to control our breathing better when we do this, but we can use our diaphragm more, which relieves the tension off of our psoas, which is a hip flexor muscle, our quadratus lumborum, which is a low back stability muscle, as well as our paraspinals, which run on each side of the spine in our low back, and then our pelvic floor. It also naturally decreases our neck, low back, and SI joint pain, and it helps us to activate our core and pelvic floor more evenly. Now, this is huge, and it really makes you realize that a lot of the important tissues that we're looking at are connected to our breath. I know you've heard that everything is connected, but hopefully this makes you realize that everything really is connected, and it's more than just getting your breathing down, but it's optimizing how your hips and your trunk and your low back and your pelvic floor are working too. But if your diaphragm's not contracting like it should, then there's a couple different things going on. And one of the main things that I see that's happening is that the abdominals aren't firing like they should. Now, you can have a strong core and still not have your abdominals firing like they should because there's different layers to your abdominals and your core. Specifically here, I'm talking more about your obliques and your transverse abdominis. Another reason for poor contraction of the diaphragm is if your ribs aren't moving when you inhale. Your ribs have a joint where it connects to the thoracic spine and the sternum, and that really just means if your thoracic spine is tight, then your ribs aren't going to be moving like they should, so they can't move as you inhale and then relax down as you exhale. So thoracic mobility is really, really important when it comes to our breath. I think every runner should rotate every single day, whether you're warming up for a run, after a run, or if you have a seated desk job and you're just rotating your spine throughout the day. That is really, really important because we just don't rotate as much as we should. If you're strength training, you can add in some rotations to your squat or your lunge or your deadlift, and that will help with your thoracic rotation as well. Another reason that you might not be able to catch your breath or you might not be using your diaphragm like you should is because of your posture. Now, posture is really important when we're running. When you're sitting, if you're sitting with, you know, that seated desk job, then it's good to note that your best posture is your next posture. But that's not really the case when we're running. We do want to pay attention to our posture because if we're running, we have any sort of lumbar flexion, we're bent over, our mid back is bent over, we're not going to be able to expand the ribs and therefore move the diaphragm like we should. But posture isn't just about the trunk. In the Complete Runners Club membership, I teach that the first thing you should be working on is your head and neck position, because this is going to set yourself up for having that proper arm swing and trunk position. Now, if my head and my chin are poked forward, all of a sudden now my shoulders are rounded, I'm in a very suboptimal position to use my abdominals and have that tall posture when I'm running. So, therefore, I can't expand my diaphragm like I want to and should be in that 360 breathing pattern when I'm running. So again, poor oxygen exchange. This might cause cramping in the abdomen or the sides, like a side stitch. So it really does start with head position, neck position, shoulder position, moving into that trunk position too. Let's talk about some ways that you can improve your diaphragm contraction, because it's just like any other muscle where you can strengthen it and it can become weaker and it can be working at suboptimal lengths, which is usually the case. And again, this goes back to causing more tension in that psoas, that low back and pelvic floor. So one of the ways, like I said, just sitting, if you're someone who meditates a lot, or if you're just sitting, maybe you're working, watching TV, just working on that 360 breathing, because 360 breathing with your hands on your sides, or maybe you have your hands on your low back, just thinking about pushing your low back into your hand, it's not something we should only be doing when we're running. It is something we should be doing outside of running. It's something that you want to be doing when you're working, when you're sleeping, you know, anytime you're breathing, really. Unless you are completely out of breath, you're probably going to start using those secondary respiratory muscles in your chest and shoulder. But just at that quiet breathing, we should be into that 360 breathing. So it's something that you can work on all the time. You're brushing your teeth, something like that. So once you get used to it, you start becoming aware of what it feels like, then that's going to help and carry over into your running. When we think about our running with the diaphragm, I like to use my running belt. So I use my spy belt. I put it right on my skin, like around my lower abdomen area, and I'll make it fairly tight, not super tight, but fairly tight to where I can feel that it's touching my skin. Now, I like to do this because I like that feedback that I am going into 360 breathing. So if my heart rate is high, maybe I'm trying to get it down into zone two. So maybe I start to slow my pace down. I'm not ready to walk yet. I want to see if I can decrease my heart rate while I'm continuing to run. And say it's going down a little bit, but it's still hanging out in zone three and I want it in zone two. So what I'm going to do is really focus on my breathing. I'm not taking deep breaths because, again, we're exercising. We can't take those really deep inhales, really deep exhales. But I am going to work on pushing all sides that is touching my belt into my belt. So I'm trying to really expand into that 360 breathing, almost like the belt is giving me a little bit of resistance just so I can think about pushing my skin into the belt on all sides. And this is something that I should be doing all the time when I'm running, but specifically when I'm at that higher heart rate, I'm going to work on it a little more and be a little bit more aware of it. So again, not a deep inhale, not a deep exhale. I'm really just working on deep 360 breathing, pushing into my belt, or you can use your hands on your sides as well. If you're looking outside of running to work more on that diaphragm, you can also use breathing trainers. They have some on Amazon. You can use balloons because it's going to require some resistance to strengthen the diaphragm, or even like a straw will work well because you want to work on that forceful exhale, that powerful exhale, being able to lengthen the time that you're exhaling, and adding some resistance is the perfect way to do it because, again, it's a muscle and we can strengthen it. Keep your eyes peeled on my Instagram, dr.lisa.dpt, because I will be making a YouTube video on some exercises and explaining more about 360 breathing if you're that visual person. I know I am, so I like to make those videos. So I will be posting that on my Instagram. And if you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review it. Share it with a runner. It really means the world to me and allows me to keep bringing you free content, which I love to do. Next week on the podcast, I will have another dietitian so you can keep improving your nutrition this year. I know for me, that was a game changer last year. So I will see you next week and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.